Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Kelly Harrington is with us as the ambassador for this today. Kelly, how are you getting on? You probably don't need to be part of an active week. I guess you are pretty active at the moment.
Yeah, I'm pretty active. It'll be a week before I go away for competition, so I'll be active enough. But yeah, it's a week of just basically people getting out there. We've already been doing it through this whole pandemic, but just getting out there. It's not a week. You don't have to be involved in sport or be an athlete or anything like that. It's for all ages and all physicalities wise, I suppose. And it can be anything like a brisk walk, just getting out there and getting active basically for the whole week. And then if you are involved in sport, it's for the likes of going and trying different sports also and seeing how you get on with those. And it might open the door for something new and something beautiful.
The research came back from last month anyway, certainly for the first 8 weeks of lockdown, it turned out that people weren't so much locked down as getting out and walking and cycling and doing physical activity at a level that we'd never seen before in the history of the country, certainly in terms of the time that we've been measuring it. So clearly people want to be out there and they want to be active.
This is exactly it. And if anything, I think from this whole pandemic and the lockdown and stuff, it has made us realise that we don't need to own a real expensive gym membership to be fit or to get fit. You know, there's plenty of things that you can do out there that cost absolutely nothing. Like you said, cycling, sea swimming, walking, fast walking, running, all those kind of things. Dancing at home in your living room, for God's sake. You know, plenty of things that are free, and you're being active, you're getting some health benefits out of it, physically and mentally.
We heard the story of a high profile jockey who over the course of lockdown took up running, and he was a stable jockey who whenever the big rides on a very famous horse would come up, he'd kind of get passed over a little bit because he would struggle to make the weight. And over lockdown, he started to run. And at one point, he got up to running 100 kilometers over the course of a week. And now, wow, all of a sudden, he's found, because of the running, that he's able to make weights. And it's going to completely change his career because he's going to get the opportunity to ride some of the biggest horses in some of the biggest races in the world with massive prizes on the line. All because lockdown came, he got a bit bored and he went out and started running. So, you know, I'm not saying everybody's going to change their lives, but they might.
But here, it's crazy that it took a pandemic to get up and do that, isn't it? To realise that. But I tell you, it's absolutely amazing. Best of luck to him. But this is exactly it. People were stuck at home, had really nothing to do and plenty of time to do it. So, I mean, they could have sat at home and probably got too much into their head, or they could do a bit of exercise and free up their mind, free up a bit of space in there to allow them to think clearly and get away from the TV, looking at all the bad news that's going on the TV and stuff. So it was really great to be able to do that. And I just hope now from the 23rd to the 30th of September that people will really give this a push, whether it's a virtually, because we're going to have stuff obviously virtually for those who can't do it physically with us. But hopefully by then we might be able to have a few camps and stuff set up and running if there's no guidelines and stuff, if we can go back to, yeah, you get me, drift.
Yeah, some small gatherings. Yeah, totally. Come here, Kelly. I'm wandering around. I live in Marino. Owen lives very close to me as well. He's probably seen the same posters I have. There's a couple of people who the community in Dublin have turned to. Michael Dermacauley is one of them. You're another. And Mrs. Brown, I think, is the third poster that I've seen. a new holy trinity. We actually had Michael Dermacauley on the show a little bit earlier on as well. What's that like for you at this stage of your career, wandering around and looking up and seeing your face on a lamppost and going, okay, right, you know, I'm now officially a role model for my community?
I suppose, because I'm actually born and reared in Dublin One for starters. So to be a role model for my community really means a lot to me, because I know what it's like to grow up in the inner city. And I know the challenges that I had when I was growing up and how I overcame them. And for me as a kid, like, I would have seen people going to boxing clubs and stuff, and that was my inspiration, was to get in and to follow them. But for kids coming up now, they're seeing me plastered everywhere. They're seeing Macaulay plastered everywhere. So, like, they know who we are. They know who he is, and they can look into the background. And, like, if you really want to know about me, everyone in the inner city knows about me. So they can look back and they can say, well, Jesus, like, if she was this age and this is what happened to her at that age, and she overcame all of that crap in her life, and she became, are you still there? It's just the internet connection.
Yeah.
And she became basically a great sports person. And I think for a young person, for me, if I had seen me when I was growing up, I would have been very inspired and I would have looked up to me. So I think kids are going to do the exact same thing, and not just kids, there is adults out there also. During this pandemic, I've been doing a couple of things online. Like, I have a Facebook page. I'm not that great with social media. I don't really know the whole ins and outs of it, but I was doing a couple of classes online and I had a few people doing the classes. But I also started, because I am an ambassador for the Northeast Inner City, and I started doing a class there. Once they said that we could have 15 people in a outdoor group and scenario, then I started doing outdoor classes for older people, not for kids. And reason being is because, like, some of these older people, they probably weren't doing anything even before the pandemic, you know, and then the pandemic happens and they can't even get out to the shops anymore, really. Do you know what I mean? They're really, really crammed up in their house. So as soon as this was over, I'd done the class, I started doing these classes, and they started to come, and I didn't think they would. You know, there was people that I never thought would do it. My own ma comes along to the classes and she's like buzzing, you know, and there's a nun actually and all who comes to the class, and she was cocooning and everything. She's over 70 and she's doing the classes. It's just amazing. They come in, they're like little mice when they come in, really, really quiet, and you want to see them by the end of the class. They're like teenagers. They're absolutely buzzing. The spirits have just lifted. They're blown and they're like, oh Jesus, because it's only half an hour. And they leave, and they're like, oh, we could have done an hour of that today, Kelly. And I'd be like, yeah, well, if you had done an hour, you probably wouldn't come back to me next week. So I want you here next week, and I want you up, and I want you up. And that's the thing, you know, like, and I just, that's what I want my role to be in the community, is someone who's trying to, like, just trying to get people up and moving and basically helping people smile and feel good about themselves and just socializing again, like, because we can do it if we keep our social distance. Our social distance, we can socialize, you know, and that's what I wanted to do. And we got it up and going, and it's really rewarding for me to be able to see people out chatting and laughing and saying, oh, we're so glad you done this, thanks so much, you know, like, it's just amazing.
And what sort of stuff are you doing in the classes, because it sounds great?
I'm doing, like, so we've like little 1 kilo hand weights. We hadn't got weights at the start, but I got weights throughout the classes, and it's literally all it was. We start off with you know, the Casper slide, you know that song?
Yeah.
One hop this time, one hop this time, tower. Well, like, I
start off with
that, like, so we do that as a warm up, like, and that's exactly it, in the back of the football pitch, and we're laughing. And then after we do a little warm-up, I'll do 4 or 5 rounds of Tabata. Like, it's on YouTube, just, you can get all different songs. It's 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off by eight, like. And then we have the dumbbells, and I just have them standing square punching for 20 seconds, drop the weight. The next one, it's punching without the dumbbells and like stuff. I'd call out combinations like left, left, right, left, left, right. And I get them to shout it out with me and they're loving it, you know, like absolutely loving it. And I got me dad, which I never thought I'd see me out with. So I had him up and I had him in the class and he was only after finishing work. So he comes in with his bloody gloves on his hand, his mask on his face. And I tell you now, like we didn't get anything done because the whole class just kept laughing at him because he has no coordinate. He's like two lefty, I'm telling you now, just hilarious. The crack we got out of it, but he was laughing as well, you know, like everyone got a good enjoyment out of it. Even though we only got a little bit of exercise that day, we still all left there happy and feeling good, you know. And that's what it's about, like that's, to me, that's what it's about. And that's what my role, and that's what I want to do as a role model, is to be able to lift people and help people. And if someone needs a dig out here and there, to be able to do that for someone.
Kelly, could I ask, do you still get that same happiness out of many of your sessions as an elite boxer? Like, because that's when you get to a very high level in sport, the fun can often go out of it. Do you still identify with that happiness after even just half an hour of a session like that?
Like in my own training sessions?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I like when I go to my boxing club, I'm nearly short of moving a bed into my boxing club because I love it. Like I love the morale in my club. It's different to that of the morale in the institute, if that makes any sense. Like it's more of a family in the boxing club than it is in the institute. And when I leave my club in the evening time, it's really, I'm happy, and I sit in my car going home and I'm really relaxed and I'm happy. And it's the same for kids in the club. Like if a kid comes into the club, like this kid might have been at home. You don't know who you're getting into the club. They're from all walks of life that come into a boxing club. And you could have a kid who might come into a club and might not have got much attention through that day, or, you know, like the parents are too busy working and no one to help him with his homework or her with her homework. And she comes in or he comes in. And he does this bit in the club. He doesn't just walk out that door. The coach gives them a shout and he says, "Good night, Josephine," or "Good night, Tom. Well done." That's a pat on the back for that child. He goes out there thinking, "Oh yeah, like the coach knows my name and the coach knows what worked hard tonight." You know, that's the feeling that you get in a club. And it's like that for me as well. Like I get that, like that's when I'm leaving the club, coach would say, "Well done." And I'm like, "Yes, you know, like I've put the work in and it's good." Like it's, I love it.
is that Corinthians Boxing Club? Are you still in Corinthians?
No, that's where I started. That's where right. Corinthians is in the inner city. I started with Corinthians, but I'm out in St. Mary's in Tallinn now at the moment with no work out there. And we're back.
And we're back.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Just now,
did you
yeah.
hear me?
Sorry.
Did you get that answer to that question?
Not the end of it, no, just the start of it.
Yeah, so I started boxing with Corinthians Boxing Club. Obviously, at the time when I started, nowhere around in the inner city would take females, and I tried for a year to get into Corinthians, and I got in, and I was with Corinthians for many, many years, and now I'm with... I'm out in St. Mary's in Tallaght with Noel Burke. I've changed out there, moved out to Tallaght. I didn't move to Tallaght. I moved out to the boxing club in Tallaght.
Very good. Yeah. to talk a little bit about where your boxing career is at. Obviously, the Olympic Games were scheduled for this year. We should know now what the scenario was with regards to that, and we should be celebrating hopefully at this point. But obviously, you got kicked back a year, and recently you talked about how it kind of felt like this was a little glimpse of retirement for you. So do you have in your head exactly what's going to happen in the next 12 months for you? Are there plan A, plan B, and another scenario? Have you thought about going pro if the Olympics don't happen? What's the latest?
So basically, like in the whole run up to the last Olympic qualifiers, I've taken everything in baby steps. So yeah, while the qualifiers are the main thing, obviously in February, March, for me now the next thing is I'm focusing on October, the possibility of having a competition in October. I don't need to get any medals out there. I just need to get out there. I just need to get some fights, perform, see where I'm at and whatever. If the Olympics happen, it will be absolutely fantastic. If they don't happen, then they don't happen. I'll just move on. The possibilities of turning professional boxing, it's a business. And like, I haven't got a business head on me. I'd go professional if I'm getting a good contract, like a 2 to 3 year contract with so many fight deal and plenty of money, like, and it would have to be plenty of money because I've given enough time into this sport. I've been 15 years now boxing, and I'm not going to put smaller gloves on me on and no head guard to get punched in the head for buttons. Like, it's not worth it, or to have to sell tickets, like, that's not worth it. So I'd rather stay amateur, or I'd rather pack it in altogether if that's the case. But like I said, if someone comes along and says, here's a lovely 3 year 2 to 3 year contract, so many fights, you're gonna get this much money, and it looks tasty to me, I'll be like, thank you very much. So yeah, we'll see. Who knows? Like, I might never get an offer. I might get an offer. I might never get an offer. But we'll wait and we'll see.
Right, because I was just about to ask you what.
But the way women's boxing has gone now, yeah.
No, honestly, could continue there, because I think I was just about to ask you the same thing, that in terms of the way the sport is trending at the moment, there might be more and more of an opportunity of that sort of contract coming as the months and the years go by.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was just saying there. So the way that women's boxing, professional boxing is going now, there might be an opportunity of that happening. If it does, that'd be great. Like, I'd be delighted. Like, I am 30 now at the moment. I'll be 31 in December. I mean, like, I think 35 would be a nice age to retire if needs be. So we'll see how it plays out. Again, being, do you want this, do you want that? It'd be nice to become a world champion, but it'd be also nice to be a well-paid world champion, or someone being well-paid on their way to becoming a world champion. So unless I get well-paid, I won't take it. And that's with or without an Olympic medal.
Well, I was going to say, it's obviously much easier to be an Olympic gold medalist and then have 4 years to build up to being a world champion at 35 and ride off into the sunset. It does sound like you've got a career plan in your head.
I have. Well, not to hear me, I have. It sounds like it, like that. I never even knew about it myself, to be honest with you now when I say it. But I'm just going with the flow. Whatever happens, happens. Like, at the end of the day, I have my little job in St. Vincent's in Fairview, my little cleaning job, and I mean, if the shit hits the fan, I'm happy enough working there. Do you know what I mean? And I'm happy enough. I could imagine that I would probably get a job with the council, maybe, or I'm going to throw it out there, but it may never happen, with the Boxing Association. That's probably, like, people are probably going, ooh, that's risky. But you never know, like, so, like, either way, whatever I do, and I'll be content with it.
Having the ambition to coach in the Boxing Association is really interesting, because I'm not sure, did you see that piece written by Sean McGoldrick a few weeks ago where he details how successful we've been with young female fighters in this country, but how when they get to a certain level, there's kind of a make or break moment where a lot of them just aren't getting funding at the moment. And I assume that that prevails all through the different levels of boxing in Ireland, and that includes coaching, that the benefits of investing a little bit more in coaching, hiring new coaches, hiring former world championship medalists to come in and actually coach kids in Ireland is a huge positive step forward that the association could take over the next few years.
I don't really get the question as such, what you're asking me, but I'll answer it the way that I think you're asking. What I will say is, not every great boxer makes a great coach. So I'm a good boxer. Will I be a great coach? I don't know. But I don't expect to just be handed a job from the association, there you go, Kelly, there's a job for you. We'll put you in coaching. I expect to be trialed and tested first for me to know, am I any good? Do you know what I mean? I can't just step up to the plate and think, I've done my trade as a boxer, I'm ready to go as a coach. Like, you know, like many coaches have done years and years of hard graft, voluntary, unpaid, and then they get to where they are. Some coaches never boxed in their life and become fantastic coaches. You know, like some boxers were great boxers and are crap coaches. You know, so I don't expect anything to be handed to me. I expect to earn, if I do become a coach, I expect to earn my right to be a coach and to be tested by the high performance selection to see, am I actually any good at being a coach? Because while I would like to be a coach, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be good at one. Like, we have to see first. And I would not like to go in and have I wouldn't like to be put into a team with myself and all the other high performance athletes and say, now there you go, Kelly, you're in bloody Brendan Irvine's corner tonight and he's fighting in the final of whatever. I would absolutely crap my bag. So you have to earn your spot, earn your stripes.
I guess my point was, is there a pathway for young coaches in Ireland and is there the money there to do it at the moment?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't got a clue because it's not something that I am looking into, you know. Sure. So at the moment I'm just focusing on me and on my boxing. See all that other crap that you got on me just from that little one question and I'm there like yeah, so I don't know. I haven't been looking into it, so
what did you make of Katie Taylor's performance against Delphine Persoon the other night?
It's very good, very good performance from both fighters. They were absolutely, they gave it absolutely socks in there. So it was great to watch, and it was nail biting stuff. It had me looking through my fingers at one stage, you know. What I really think, like what I like about it is, it's a fight that's been very public, and everyone has, like a lot of people have seen it, you know. And there's a lot of young boys and girls now watching that and families watching that. And for me, my hope is from the 23rd to the 30th of September, it will give people the itch to get out on the European week of sport and test the waters out and even get out and do a bit of shadow boxing. Because we'll get out now after seeing that and try a bit of shadow boxing or a bit of, if we're allowed, then do a bit of pad work maybe, you know. Ching.
Classic. I think that you've got many different types of career available to you whenever you do decide to retire. And you obviously didn't think, yeah, right, I'm this bit of lockdown, I'm finished. I'm happy now. I'm going to walk away from this. You've definitely got at least 4 or 5 years left in you. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, Jesus, yeah. Like, I have, if I want 4 or 5 years, I have 4 or 5 years left in me. It's just about seeing, it's about, basically, I have 4 or 5 years left in me, but it's about seeing what people are going to offer me after next year. Do you know what I mean? If there's offers there, and then go from there. Like, I'm very happy, I'm very content at where I am in my life, and, whatever I choose to do, I'll be happy enough doing it anyway.
Well, here's a question then about style, like, because obviously we've seen even Katie Taylor come in for some I don't know if it's criticism, but analysis that suggested that it has taken her quite a while to change from being an amateur to a professional, to sit down in her shots was the phrase that kind of rings the most, and to use her power as opposed to using the amateur style of trying to score points. Is your style suited, do you think? Is that something you've thought about, like whenever somebody comes and says, oh, we'd like to offer you a contract, but we're just, you know, you have to convince us here, Kelly, that actually you're going to make it as a professional. Have you thought, yeah, actually I've got a plan in place for that, and I box the style I box at the moment because that's what wins me fights in the amateur game, but I totally understand that it's a different prospect. Is that something you're thinking about?
I mean, in the amateurs, it's amateur fighting, like, I don't really know. I haven't actually thought of that. But I mean, I can fight, and I can, like, styles make fights, really, and it depends on who you're in with. Like, if you're, like, I can box better than I can fight. So if I'm in with a fighter, I'm not going to fight, because, like, I can box better than I can fight, so I'll box, you know. But if I'm in with a boxer, I'll box, and I'll mix it up when I need to mix it up. And I think that would make for interesting boxing, really. Like, there wouldn't be too much of a change, but I would definitely need to, like, I'm already working on me inside game anyways, so that's something that I have been working on. So hopefully everything changes, really. Like, I suppose the 2 minute rounds to 10 2 minute rounds and everything, like, you're going back then, we used to do 4 2 minute rounds, now we're doing 3 3s. So I mean, rounds are ending a lot quicker. Like, is the pace higher for 2 minutes, or is it slower for 2 minutes because you have 10 rounds, do you know? So you have to take all these little things into account, do you know? Like, I don't know. I didn't think that the fight the other day was slow for 2 rounds. I thought the rounds went really quick, but they were very fast paced rounds, do you know? So yeah, you have to take everything into consideration when you're thinking of your style and what have you, and what are you going to offer to the program. Like, I suppose you have to really test the water with your first couple of fights and see how it is, see how you go for 10 rounds, really. Well, not 10, you start off obviously 4, 6, 8, and then whatever, like, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
For sure. Well, listen, Kelly, it's always great to talk to you. Best of luck with everything, and thanks very much.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.